This is Phil Ferrand. Wait, get the right key. And I am driving home. Okay, so I had a little snack. Just before I decided to turn on the recorder. One moment. That probably wasn't a good idea. So, anyways, yeah, because now I'm kind of clogged up a little bit. sorry. Okay, so it's another week, and it has been a good week. It's been a very eventful week, and we're still eventing. So, work is fine. That's all going fine. You know, work with good people, lovely people. Writing is going fine. I'm actually ahead this week because it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday. And so I had extra time. So normally on a Monday, I would just get 1,000 words written. But I actually got 2,500 words written. So, of course, that put me ahead for the rest of the week. Which is good because we have my dad's 95th birthday celebration. We're going to do that on Saturday. He will actually be 95 tomorrow. At this point, it looks like he's going to make it to 95. I just left him. We just set up an Amazon Echo Generation 2 for him. And the starring moment was when he said, "Alexa, play I Am the Righteousness of God in Christ." And it actually did it. So that was pretty impressive. But it is set up now to where he can say, "Alexa, call Phil Ferrand," and it will just ring through straight to my phone. Which is good. If there's a problem, then, you know, he can do that as opposed to needing to get to the phone. Anyways, so all is well there. We are moving forward on a lot of different things, and it's good. Had a little setback this week, though. And it was interesting enough to me that I thought it would be good to share. I have had the extreme privilege and joy to live a life that I feel is connected to the supernatural in terms of whispers. And I've talked about this a lot. This idea that God is whispering to us. I had breakfast with a friend today, and he was talking about this type of thing, and God's path in our life. And it was very interesting. And he was talking about that the path of God in our life comes from knowledge, and then oftentimes through inconvenience, that God will ask us, he'll make a suggestion to us, and maybe it's a little bit inconvenient, but if we'll push forward through that, then, you know, there are benefits. And then I was relating again what we have talked about in terms of, we quote the verse all the time, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," and yet we miss the context of that. So we don't realize that that comes from the parable of the Good Shepherd. This is the synopsis. Usually it takes me longer to get through this. Parable of the Good Shepherd. And in the parable of the Good Shepherd, wrapped around that statement is a context. And the context of that statement is that Jesus, as the shepherd, leads us. And everyone who heard him talk that day knew it was a daily thing. And the people, the entities who have abundant life are those who are sheep who hear and know his voice, and he leads them out and they follow. So there is this idea of God visiting with us, sharing with us every day, and we respond to that, and that brings abundant life. And I feel like I have enjoyed that. I have enjoyed that for years and years and years. But there are times when I get off track. And frankly, this was a week where I got off track. Because, and this may seem like a trivial thing to get off track about, and it is, and I have pledged that I will do better. But what I got off track about was the cold. We're obviously in the middle of winter. We had one of those days on Tuesday, though, and it actually kind of set up. It kind of came in on Monday. It was working on it. Then Tuesday. The low was near zero, a little below, a little above. The high was like in the teens. And I'll blame it on growing up in the Philippines, but I just don't like anything that cold. The young lady who's staying with us, she said, yeah, it's just stupid cold out there. And it is. And if I'm not careful, which I apparently wasn't earlier in the week, that can affect me. And it just sort of takes my brain down a notch. It desensitizes me a little bit. It changes my mood if I let it, which I did. So, you know, that day, Tuesday, was not a stellar day. Monday was pretty good. Got a lot of writing done. It was fine, that kind of thing. Then I had to get up, leave the house, and it was zero, or I don't know, it was -2 or something. You know, got into work, and I knew it was going to be like, ugh. I just knew it was, yeah, cold all day. It was a long day. Well, in the process of all that, Jesus is still talking. But I wasn't listening as much. So, like, Monday night, I'm thinking, you know, I should call down, talk to our renter guy and say, you know, it'd probably be good if you just ran a little water. Just run a little water. Leave it trickling tonight because it's going to be really cold. I don't want to do that. I mean, and I was just like, I couldn't get through the suggestion to actually go do it. It was, or I didn't let myself. I just didn't do it. Happily, we seem to be okay Monday morning. Great. Go out and get in the car. Drive to headquarters. I should also say that 2 or 3 weeks ago, my wife and I ran off to Branson for just a day, you know, just to get away. And it was going to be 15 that night. And I was like hearing this little voice, you know, you should put some heat in the car. Yeah, we should really put some heat in the car. So I put the heat in the car. Got up the next day. The van started just fine. Everything's great. That was 15. Okay, we're going to be at a high of 15 all day. And my dad's car, which I'm driving now, I think I explained that last week, was going to be sitting outside. Not once did it occur to me, maybe you should put some heat in that car. Not once. But it gets worse. So I get out at the end of the day, you know, get in the car, try to start it. Won't start. And I notice at that point that the gas pedal doesn't seem like it's going down very far, you know, but must just be stuck or something, because I'm kind of pushing on the gas, but it's not going down. But I'm thinking, well, maybe it was always just hard and I don't remember, because I don't drive that car this much. And I also, I look down and I notice that the floor mat is shoved up. It's higher than it usually is, but, you know, it's like, whatever. You know, it's just like, you know, because I'm not firing on all cylinders, because I don't like the cold. So a buddy tries to help me with the jump, nothing, won't start. I just told him, the fuel line probably froze up, so I'll just call my beloved and she'll come get me. And I called Lynette and she came and got me, and, you know, we go home. Okay, so now, you know, I got a car, it's stuck. Next day, get a ride in with my son-in-law. He's very kind to take me and drop me off at work. We try to start the car while we're at work. Nothing. So, okay. So, You know, it's going to be getting a little warmer. Maybe it'll start this afternoon. About that time, I get a message from my renter that looks like the pipes are frozen. Okay. Well, turn up the heat in the house and leave a little faucet open, and, you know, hopefully it'll thaw it. We'll be okay. My cousin is coming in this evening, and I happened to be texting him at the same time, and I mentioned it. And he said, well, you know, are you going to be working on it today? He said, because when you leave it sit, might not be so good. I said, well, I got meetings all day today. So this is Wednesday. This is Wednesday. Got meetings all day today, and, you know, so I don't know that I'm going to be able to get to it. But he said, well, you know, I understand. So that was the end of that. So then we go on. So I got two things going at this point. You know, I got a car that won't start, and I got frozen pipes at our little rental rock house that we have on our property. But I also have something else going for us, and that is it's starting to get warmer. And I'm starting to get more optimistic about things because it's like it's getting warmer. And today it's up in the 40s, so that's even better. It was going to be in the 20s, mid-20s yesterday. And so as I'm standing there working, you know, Jesus is going, yeah, it'd probably be good if you took Doug's advice and go home and get the pipes opened up. You've got enough days this month. You can afford the time off. I thought, yeah, no, yeah, because my motivation is starting to climb again. Yeah, that's probably right. So I reschedule a meeting that I have in the afternoon, get that out of the way, call my beloved again, sweetie, I should really probably go down to the rock house and see what I can do there. She said, no, that's fine. She said, so I'll come in and get you. So she got ready to come into work early. She was very kind to come pick me up. She comes pick me up. I drop her back at the church. I head home, which is like 8 miles north of town. I go down, the water still hasn't started in the rock house. Fine. Turn up the temperature a little bit more in the house. I come down to get a heater and to get a blow dryer and that kind of stuff. And by the time I get back, you know, it's like 5-10 minutes. By the time I get back, get changed and get back, the water's running. It's like, hey, well, hey. You know, so good. Both sides are running. Everything's great. I turned, you know, all the faucets off. We're good. In fact, I had apparently turned up the shower bath faucet a little higher than I thought I had. Because by the time I got back, the tub was not draining enough that the tub was about half full. It was like, whoa, okay, we're turning that down. But even after I get everything turned down and shut off, I'm still hearing this sound of water running. It's like but I can't really tell. I can't really tell whether it's the furnace or whether it's... So finally, I just shut the furnace off, turn off everything else, and it's, and sure enough, I hear the sound of water running. It's like, So, go underneath the kitchen sink there, where the main shutoff for the house is, shut it off, the sound stops immediately. Turn it back on, sound starts back up. Nope, turn it off. Okay, so I'm looking around, I can't see where the water's actually coming from, so I leave it shut off. But the good thing here, the good thing is, if I hadn't come home, when I did, that water would have been running probably for 2-2.5 hours constantly. So there you go. So I get the rock house taken care of, got the water shut off, text the renter, tell him, yeah, it sounds like we got a water leak somewhere, so I'm going to leave the water turned off. You need to come down to our house to sleep tonight. That's fine. He said, nah, I'm fine. I'll just get some water and drinking water. I'll bring it home. I can tough it out. I'm a guy. Okay, great. Thanks. So then I drive back in because I've called the car mechanic, and the car mechanic has told me, yeah, if you can't get the car started, just go ahead and try to start it this afternoon. If that doesn't work, get it over here. We'll figure out what's wrong. Okay, great. So I drive back into town, get to the car, try to jump the car. It's just not happening. Nothing's happening. And I'm noticing that I don't really feel like I've got a good jump. I mean, the battery is way down on the car at this point, on my dad's car. It's a Lincoln Continental, so it's a big car. Got to have a lot of cranking amps to get it started. It's just not happening. You know, so, okay, fine. So, I thinks to myself, as I'm in there, oh, yeah, and I got to remember to pull the little parking hanger. There's, to park at headquarters, we have these little hangers that hang off the rearview mirror that give your number and, you know, who you are, et cetera, et cetera. So, got to remember to pull that off of there and get it in the van, because apparently it's going to be another day, because I'm going to have this car towed over to the mechanics, blah, 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 blah. And by this time, it's gotten warm enough that I'm feeling pretty optimistic. It's like, fine, we'll get this done. We'll get this done. So then, I start driving back home. And that, amazingly enough, that thought of, yeah, I got to pull that hanger out of there, it just flew out of my brain. I mean, it was just gone. And I got about two-thirds of the way home, and I'm getting ready to turn the corner, and I get this little ping again, and the ping is, you forgot the hanger in the car. It's like, I forgot the hanger in the car. And a little voice says, well, you can just get it later. You don't have to go back. And another little voice says, nope, you should probably go back and get it. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, because now I'm getting more optimistic. I'm listening. I can kind of tell by the tone which is which. And I can tell that it's spirit that's saying you should go back and get that, and it's flesh that's saying, no, just leave it until later. So I turn the Nets van around, and we go back in one more time. And I get in there. Mail. One moment. Lots of mail. Goodness, lots of little mails. Can't quite reach the one at the back, though. Hey, there we go. Yay. That one's for my beloved. So I get back in there. I pull up next to the car. Now it's like 4 o'clock, and it has been sitting out there longer in the sun. And I think, yeah, okay, you know, maybe I'll just try it one more time. I should add that I had called the tow truck by that point, because it was, when I was out there at 3 o'clock, it wouldn't start. Called the mechanic, said, yeah, it's not happening. I'm calling the tow truck. Called the tow truck. They said, well, it's going to be 2 hours before we can get to you. Okay, that's fine. How about if I just give you my card? And, the plumbers put a bill in the bottom of the mailbox here. I've got to go get that. So at 3 o'clock, I called the tow truck. They said it would be 2 hours. Okay. Because they were doing a lot of stuff. One moment. The bill that's in the... Oops. Okay. Well, no bill there. Maybe. They gave me just a second. I do need to find this bill. So one moment. If I can't find it, I'll have to call them tomorrow. Okay, so I'm calling them tomorrow. No, wait, maybe... Nope. Anyways, so forget the door hanger. Turn around, head back. Head back in. I get back in there about 4 o'clock-ish or so. Try to jump it one more time. Nothing. But I look down again at this point, and I'm more optimistic by this point. I look down, and I see that floor mat that's pushed up. Like, that floor mat's pushed up. So I finally reach down and grab the floor mat. And I try to pull it out of there, and that, I mean, it is just, I've got to yank on it pretty good to get it out of there. And so I pull it out of there. It turns out, backing into my garage, turns out, actually, I don't back this car into the garage. Hold up. I got to think what I'm doing here. As it turns out, that floor mat had gotten scrunched up underneath the gas pedal, and because it had been so cold on Tuesday, that floor mat had turned into a brick. So all the time I'm trying to give this car gas to get it started, the accelerator is not going down. And I noticed that, but I was like, you know, because it was cold. I like being cold. So now there's all kinds of whispers coming. Okay, so in other words, you weren't getting any gas to the car. You know, so all this time you've been trying to jump, but all you've been doing is running down the battery, and that's why it's so hard to jump, because the battery is really low and this thing needs a lot of power to get started. About that time that I'm going through all of that, I get a call, and it's the tow truck there early. And if I hadn't come back in for the door hanger, you know, I would have missed them. I get a call. They're actually at the wrong spot. I get them directions back to me. While they're coming back to me, I have the thought, you know, you should have a professional try to jump this. Okay. So, you know, eventually the guy gets there. I said, you know, before we haul this thing off, could you just try to give me a jump? Yeah, sure, I can do that. So he brings his little portable thing over, tries it. Car won't even, I mean, just won't do it. He said, well, if this doesn't work, let me spin my tow truck around. He said, because I got lots of power on my tow truck. I said, okay. So he spins his tow truck around. He's got this really cool thing on the front where he just plugs into this thing on the front, and he's got his jumper cables. I mean, it's really cool stuff. So he puts that thing on, and he said, yeah, I got like four batteries in this thing. And rum, 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 rum. And we finally got enough power to the car. And I got the mat out underneath the accelerator to where I could press the accelerator. Pretty soon, the car takes off. It takes off, starts running. And so we wait. There's no fluid spraying everywhere. There's no, I mean, it all looks good. We let it run. There's no warning lights, yada, yada. You know, sure looks like we're good. And, so he said, okay, well, great. I said, yeah, thanks. It'd be great. Thanks. You know, pay the bill, blah, blah. Then I ran over, got my wife, brought her back. She got her van. She had her van at night then for when she was doing the choir rehearsal so she could come straight home. I drove straight home. It's long enough that by the time I started the car back up after I drove home, fired right up. Everything's great. Great, 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 great. As far as the rock house goes, that's gotten resolved as well. I had called the plumbers. The plumbers came out this afternoon. I knew it was going to be challenging because the crawl space is really small. In fact, right after I do this podcast, I got to go down and see what the damage is. And they called. Sure enough, today they called and they said, yeah, we can't get under there. I said, okay. They said, well, there's only a couple options. I said, well, you're probably going to have to go through the floor. Or they said, yeah, we're going to have to go through the floor. I said, yeah, I already talked to the renter about that. Or you're probably going to have to go through the floor to get to it. But, yeah. And he said, well, do you want to cut it? I said, as long as you're there, you just go right ahead and cut a hole in the floor. He said, okay. Because he said, you know, we're not the neatest cutters. I said, that's fine. Just cut the hole in the floor. Let's get the water back on. So they got that done. It was like $150. Hey, you know, we live 8 miles north of town. Are you kidding me? Come all the way out there, cut a hole in the floor, repair it. We got water. Boom. We'll take this deal. So that got done. That got wrapped up, you know. But as I was reflecting over this in the last day and a half, as I was reflecting, everything was just kind of sliding sideways until it started warming up. And once it started warming up, I started getting my brain in gear, getting my sensitivities back up, you know, started actually listening and acting on those things. Now, so in the first place, if I had put heat in the car probably still wouldn't have started. But if I had looked down and actually pulled on that mat Tuesday afternoon and got it out of the way, probably could have started the car. There would not have been any troubles there. My wife would not have had to drive in and come and get me twice. I wouldn't, you know, have to drive back and forth, all that kind of stuff. In her van, I would have had my car. If I had called the renter and said, hey, go ahead and let a little water trickle, okay, wouldn't have had frozen pipes, wouldn't have had a plumber come out. He wouldn't have been without water in the night. But come Wednesday, once things started warming up and I started getting that awareness around me again, paying attention to the whispers, responding to the whispers, A, pulled on the floor mat, figured out what was keeping the car from starting, B, asked the tow truck guy to give me a jump one more time. We got it started. If he hadn't done that, the car would have been over at Cloverleaf's. They would have started up, said, there's nothing wrong, you know, or your mat was underneath the thing. Okay, it would have put me out another day. Not a crisis, but it was nice to have the car sooner than later. You know, same thing with the rock house. If I had not taken off early and come, I wouldn't have been able to catch it early that there was water spraying everybody. The water would have been there for 2-3 hours spraying. Now, is that the end of the world? Probably not. It drains underneath, you know. It'd be okay, but it's a waste of water. You know, the fact that we were already knowing that, yeah, we're probably going to have to go through the floorboards. When the plumber says, yeah, we're going to have to go through the floor, it's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Just go ahead, take care of it. So in all of these things, the point is that the atmosphere of my life shifted because I got cold. And I let that decrease my sensitivities. And once it decreased my sensitivities, it's amazing how many things didn't go as great as they usually go. Because you start losing all those whispers. And a lot of times I call those whispers like a cheat sheet because, you know, Jesus is talking and you're going through it. But then as soon as I started getting warmer and I kind of, my sensitivities started lightening back up, I got my car sooner. I actually figured out how not to flood the rock house. You know, everything just sort of aligned and it's been aligning ever since. So I say all that to say, there's a lot of people who are constantly shaking their fist at God and saying, why are you doing this to me, God? I've tried to serve you, and now look at this. This bad thing happened, and that bad thing happened, and this bad thing happened. And granted, there are bad things that happen to us in our lives. But what is happening to us in the midst of those bad things happening, I think, can be fairly dramatically altered simply by listening and by following those whispers. Because things can shift. Maybe there wouldn't have been a dramatic shift, but hey, I got my car back sooner. Never had to lose the car in the first place, but I got my car back sooner. And I didn't flood the house. Those are both good things. Made me feel good. It's like, hey, I heard correctly. And that thought that just disappeared out of my head, those kind of things always just fascinate me. Because that's like an unwhisper. You know, it's like Jesus just reaches in and goes, pluck. Yeah, don't do that yet. Last dregs. It's the last dregs of this gold. Don't do that yet. Because I need you back in town in an hour when the car, you know, when the tow truck gets there so you can get your car started. So it's a fascinating life. It's just a fascinating life. And God is good and God is kind. And he will exist with us any way that we choose for him to exist with us. You know, if we want to listen for him and follow his path and have things go a little bit better because of all that, that's fine. And if we don't, he'll still keep talking to us. It's just a marvelous, marvelous life. And we just are so blessed to have Jesus in our lives and the Holy Spirit whispering to us and helping us all along the way. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.